just pray all this in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, I'm going to ask our children, kindergarten through second grade, to come up here to the front for a second before children's church. So if you're a child, kindergarten through second grade, you can join me at the front. And the children's workers, those of you who are going to be helping in children's church this morning, you can come forward too. We're just going to come up and stand over here a second. I want to share with you a verse from Scripture. And in the verse of Scripture, you're included. Imagine that? That God had you in mind in His Word. So here's the verse. It's from Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 20 and 21. Think about which word describes you, or which word includes you. It's a big one. Oh. Now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Who is it that can do more than we ask or imagine? Any idea who that might be? How about God? You think God can do more than we could ask or imagine? That's who it is. And then he says, He's at work in the church to bring Him glory, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can you think about which word includes you? It's the word generations. Generations. So, I'm part of a generation called the baby boomers. Bryce, you're a millennial, right? You're a millennial, right, Bryce? Yes, you are. Lord, we pray for the millennials. No, Lord, we pray for the baby boomers. The builder generation as well. And anyway, this is a new generation. I don't know that they've been named yet. But God says that this generation, He will listen to their prayers, and He will pay attention to their dreams, and He will do more than they ask or imagine for His glory in the church. Isn't that great? So we're going to pray for them this morning as they head out for children's church. And you guys can go out this door and down to the children's ministry. But let me just pray for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that when You promise us that You are able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine, that You include not just us, but every generation, including the generation represented here on the steps at First Free, these kindergarten through second graders, Lord, You are going to delight in their dreams, in their prayers, and You are going to glorify Yourself in their generation, in the church, in Christ Jesus, for His honor and glory. And we thank You for it. Give them ears to hear today, eyes to see Your greatness, Your goodness, and Your kindness toward them. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in children's church. You're going to go that way to Miss Jen. There you go. And we're going to take our Bibles and open to the book of Joshua and chapter 23. And don't panic if you don't know where Joshua is. You have in the Pew Bible a table of contents. Isn't that a great thing to have in a book? So you can open to the table of contents and find out that in my Pew Bible, Joshua begins on page 169, but Joshua 23 is at the end of the book of Joshua, and in mine it's at page 188. We're going to be looking at Joshua's life and ministry. But as we do so, I want to, before we read the scripture, I just want to remind you where we are as a church family in this new series of messages, in this new study together. Really, it's more than just a message. We're undertaking a 40-day prayer challenge that began on May 1st. So we're at day 5 in a 40-day prayer challenge. And you think, oh, I didn't start, so I can't do it. No, you can. You can do a 40-day challenge and finish 5 days after those who started on May 1st. Or you could do a 35-day challenge, and you'll be just fine. But for the next 5 weeks, coming up to June the 9th, we're going to be considering messages on prayer on Sunday morning. And we're going to, those of you who have been able to pick up a copy of the Draw the Circle devotional, you have 40 devotionals in here day by day for the 40 days that you can read stories about how God works in answer to our prayers. And so you can pick up a copy of that. I think we have like 4 or 5 copies left. And so if you didn't get a copy, I left them on, Bonnie, I left them on the information table. So see Bonnie after church. Yeah, for $10, you can have your own copy of the 40-day devotional. If we run out, they're available on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon.com, or you can go to ChristianBook.com and get your own copy, and it'll be here in a couple of days. There you go. You can get the Kindle version, too. If you prefer reading the electronic version, you can do that. See, I'm a baby boomer. I like paper. I like to take my pen and scribble all over, you know. And Carol and I have to have separate books. I don't know about the rest of you. This is a problem in our marriage. It's amazing that it survived 39 years. But if we share a book, she wants to underline different things than me. And I have symbols in the margin that I put and faces that I make. Like here, there's a smiley face. And sometimes I have raised eyebrows and different kinds of faces. Like, raised eyebrow is pay attention to this, stupid. And I'm not talking to her, no. That's for me, because she has her own book, all right? And so, so anyway, paper. But I do have Kindle, and occasionally when I'm traveling, I use that. But so Kindle, it's available on Kindle. Another aspect of the 40 days is that in some of our ABFs and in our life groups, we're going to be having a time of discussion. So if you'd like to join the discussion of the during the 40-day prayer challenge, you can go to a Sunday morning group, one of our ABFs. And I learned this morning that, and in your bulletin, by the way, you have an outline for the message. And on the back side of that outline, it lists the ABF groups and the home groups that will be meeting and using the discussion guide to discuss prayer during the 40-day prayer challenge. And so I need to add one more ABF. I learned that Koinonia is going to be also doing the 40-day prayer challenge as well. But there are 3 named, and the fourth one is Koinonia. In terms of home groups, if you want to be part of a home group, you're not part of a home group right now, but you'd like to be part of a home group during this next 5-6 weeks, the home groups are listed in terms of the evening of the week which they meet and which city. And then there's the host and a phone number. I don't say what time and I don't say where, so you have to make a phone call. And that will do 2 things. It will provide you the information as to when and where, but it'll also enable them to know you're planning to come. So we got to have refreshments, you know. So So the groups are listed, and you can call and say, I'd like to be part of your group. So that, we have the devotional, we have the messages, we have small groups and ABF, Sunday morning, and home groups, and then we have as well the encouragement to form a prayer court. And some of you already responded this week and let me know that you've formed a prayer court. And if you've done that, or you're already part of a prayer court, on the connection card, let me know that you're part of a prayer court and who else is in it, so that I know how many people are meeting for prayer during this 40-day prayer challenge. So, now, the message. We begin by reading from God's Word, the Scriptures, beginning at verse 1 of Joshua 23. The Scripture reads in the New International Version, "After a long time had passed, the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, and Joshua by then was a very old man." Well, we could ask the question, well, how old was he? According to the chapter that comes at the death of Joshua after these events, he died at the age 110. And so he was indeed a very old man. And Joshua, as in his centennial years, summoned all of Israel, the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials, and he said to them, I am very old. And they probably knew that, but he let them know again, just because he's very old, and so he tells them again. So he says, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remained. The nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Don't invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you're to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all of the good promises of the Lord your God, whom he gave you, has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will also bring on you all the evil things he has threatened, until the Lord your God has destroyed you from the good land he has given you. That is, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. key verse. Worth memorizing, by the way. At least the second half of it. But verse 14 is worth memorizing. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises that the Lord God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. The message this morning at the beginning of kind of our 40 days of prayer is that we would pause to, during these 35 days that remain, preserve a record of God's faithfulness by journaling. Preserve a record of God's faithfulness by journaling. That's the challenge for us to do that. Some of you have never journaled, and that's okay. I have journaled. I was looking on my shelf today at different journals that I have for prayer. And annually, I go to a store and buy a book journal with blank pages that are lined. And then I take it and I count how many pages are in it, or sometimes it tells me in the back of the book how many pages there are, and then I divide that by 31. So say it's 5 pages, that it comes out to when I divide by 31. Then I count off 5. I put a 1 on the first page, count off 5, and then put a 2 on the 6th page, and count out 5, and put a 3 on the whatever page it is. Allowing about 5 pages per number. So on January 1st, I'm on the number 1. When I get to February 1st, I'm back at number 1. And this helps preserve a record of God's faithfulness in my life, because the things that I had noticed in God's word on January 1st are reviewed on February 1st, on March 1st, on April 1st, on May 1st, on June 1st. 12 times I come to that page in the course of a year, and can be reminded of what I observed in God's word, what I've prayed about, and as God answers it, I can record it. So I preserve a record of God's faithfulness. Whoop. So what would I write down? I'm going to pause just a second here. All right. If I am going to journal and therefore preserve a record of God's faithfulness, what am I going to write down? First of all, I'm going to write down my prayer focus. You need to write it down. You need to define your prayer focus. So you're reading through God's word. You observe the examples of God's people, where today we're going to look at the example of Joshua. You're observing the promises in his word. You're observing the commands in his words. You're observing the scripture, and that helps us define our prayer focus. Today we're looking at the example of Joshua, and I want to show you how Joshua learned to pray. Joshua first appears to us in the record of scripture in Exodus chapter 17. He's a young man at this point. He's probably in his early 20s. He could be as young as 19. He is a person that is a leader of the armies of God in battle against the Amalekites. The Amalekites had heard that God had delivered Israel out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness and on their way to Canaan. And so the Amalekites came down into the wilderness and tried to ambush them and cease their journey in the wilderness before they ever got to the Jordan River. And so there is this battle that takes place in Exodus chapter 17, and it's recorded between verses 8 and 16. Joshua is the leader in battle, and his battle is not merely a physical battle between men. It isn't merely a battle between the army of Israel and the army of the Amalekites. No, it's a spiritual battle as well. And we see this in the text because victory in this battle depends on prayer. Joshua is fighting the Amalekites on the battlefield. Moses is up on a hill overlooking the conflict. And the scripture records that when Moses raised his hands in prayer, that the army of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, prevailed. But when Moses' hands got tired and they drooped or lowered, then the Amalekites prevailed in battle. Victory was gained through the prayer of Moses as Aaron and Ur held up Moses' hands on either side. They stood with him in prayer, holding up his hands so that as he prayed, there would be victory on the battlefield. The battle was spiritual, not just physical. That's important for us to understand in terms of the things that we face in life. We might think of the things that we face as physical, like injury or disease or financial or relational, but there is a spiritual component to them because the enemy of our souls, Satan, according to Jesus, would seek to steal the truth from our ears, would seek to kill and destroy our hope, our faith, our relationships, our lives, if he had opportunity. In 1871, John Everett Millais painted this picture of the victory that Joshua won at the prayer of Moses with Aaron and Ur on each side of him. And he titled it, Victory, O Lord. Joshua learned early that prayer is essential in facing the battles of life. He also learned that it is God who gives the victory. And we want to learn the same lesson in these 35 days. Or perhaps we've learned it in the course of our lives. We want to revisit and remind ourselves that the things that we face in life need to be faced on our knees in prayer. It was Moses' prayer that won the battle. So at the outset, the question is, what is our prayer need? Where is prayer needed in your life? So that you can define the prayer focus for these next 40 days, for the 40-day prayer challenge. You might have more than one, as I have. I have four prayer focuses. I'm thinking about, what is it that God wants me to pray for me? What is it that God wants me to pray for my family? What is it that God wants me to pray for this church? What is it that God wants me to pray for this community? And so I've been identifying some things that God would have me pray about these 40 days. What is your prayer need? What is your prayer focus? 40 plus years later, from the day that Joshua fought the battle against the Amalekites, 40 plus years later, he stands on the banks of the Jordan River looking west toward Jericho on the other side of the river. And he's contemplating his next battle. It's going to be the battle for Jericho. Jericho was a fortress city. It was protected by a high fortified wall, and it was secured by a gate and guarded by watchmen and a trained army. And when it comes to a prayer focus, we could ask, put it in terms of in a circle and defining it, our prayer focus, and ask the question, what is my Jericho? What is my Jericho? Because we're, first of all, writing it down, defining our prayer focus, we could ask the question, what is my Jericho? Mark Batterson, the author of the 40-Day Prayer Challenge, says that Jericho can be spelled different ways for different people and different times in our lives. He says, if you have cancer, your Jericho is spelled C-A-N-C-E-R. If your child is far from God, you might spell it as prodigal. If your marriage is falling apart, your Jericho might be a pending divorce or separation. If you have a dream that's beyond your resources, you might spell your Jericho as impossible. If you have a debt, you might put a dollar amount to it, and you might spell it as overwhelming. Sometimes your Jericho is the name of a person, the name of a family member, the name of a friend, the name of a coworker, the name of a neighbor. Question is, what is your Jericho? What is the impossible circumstance that you face? And I would encourage you to journal. I would encourage you to write it down. And say you write it down, and then tomorrow God puts something else on your mind. That's okay. That's what day two is for, to write down what God says to you tomorrow. But come back to what he did today. Write it down so you have it. Secondly, if we're going to preserve a record of God's faithfulness by journaling, we not only want to write down our prayer focus, we want to write down God's promise. We want to, in a sense, draw a circle around the prayer focus with the promise of God. Joshua is our example. Joshua faced Jericho not in fear and trembling, not with bewilderment, but with faith in the promise of God. Joshua trusted God's promise. So I would ask you to move back from the record of Joshua 23, where Joshua says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Joshua speaks from personal experience. Go back to the beginning, Joshua chapter 1, and observe the promises of God. When you're reading in the Bible, how do you identify the promises of God? When you're reading in the Bible, you identify the promises of God by observing the occasions in which God says, I will. That's the language of promise. I will. This is what I'm going to do for you. So look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Before Joshua engages in the battle of Jericho, look at God's promises to him. Verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Second promise, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. That's going to be the expanse of your territory. I promise. Third promise. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Fourth promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fifth promise comes after the command to be strong and courageous, because Joshua, you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so as Joshua stands on the east side of the River Jordan, looking west at the city of Jericho and its walls and its secure gate and its armed guards and its watchmen on the parapets, he looks with the eyes of faith, knowing that God will do as he promised. And so the prayer focus for him becomes Jericho, and he circles it with the promises of God. And when it comes time, I love this. If you want to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6 for a moment. When it comes time for the battle to be engaged in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, notice what the Lord says to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, not I will deliver Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." See, because when God's promise is to us, it's a done deal. It's as good as done. So for Joshua, as he stands looking west at the city, God says to him, "I've done it. It's delivered." And so he circles it with God's promise. What we want to be practiced at is reading through the scriptures, because as we're reading through the scriptures, we can observe the promises of God, and we can underline them, and we can take note of them. And when we find ourselves in similar circumstances, we can draw a circle around the need in our life. We could draw a circle around the impossible circumstance that we face with the promise of God. One of the benefits of having a prayer cord is you can come to your prayer cord and say, you know, my prayer focus for these 35 days is this, but I'm not sure what the promise of God is for me. Do you, from your knowledge of Scripture, do you know what God's promise is toward me? And you can then look to a brother or sister in Christ to help direct you to some of the promises of God. That's the benefit of praying with other believers, especially praying with someone who is further ahead in their faith journey than you are, because you can glean from their experience knowing the promises of God. So you want to circle your Jericho, your prayer focus, with the promise of God and write it down. Lord, you have promise. Third thing, we're going to preserve a record of God's faithfulness by journaling. We want to write it down. We want to write down the steps of our faith, because we want to demonstrate obedience. We want to demonstrate obedience. So we write down the steps of faith that we have taken. God said to Joshua in Joshua 6, verse 2, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands." But there was still a step of faith that Joshua and the people of Israel needed to take. That step of faith was that they would march around the city of Jericho once a day with all the armed men, with seven priests carrying trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark, some before it, some after it, and then the armed men, and they would once a day march around the city. That sounds like a strategic plan, doesn't it? That's the way to approach an impossible circumstance. But this was the step of faith that God required of his people. And on the seventh day, they were not to walk around the city once. On the seventh day, they were to walk around the city seven times. I have to believe that the word on the street in Jericho on the seventh day was, oh, they're marching around again. And everybody's climbing up under the wall to see. They're standing on the rooftops to see. And they watch the seven journeys around the city. And on the when the seventh trip around the city is complete, the trumpets blow, the army gives a shout, and the walls of the city collapse, and there's victory. But it was written down. These were the steps of faith that God's people took. They did exactly what God had said. And they discovered that his promises were true, unshaken. God speaks and it is done. So we read God's word. What do we look for in terms of steps of faith in our own condition? Well, if when we look at the promises of God, and I'm just going to give you an example here. When we look at the promise of God in Matthew 6, for example, we have in Matthew 6 the command, don't worry. And then the assurance that your heavenly Father knows what you need. Verse 32. And then this verse 33, a command with a promise. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we want to know God as our provider, God says in his word, I know what you need before you ask. But we don't passively look to God and say, well, this is what I need. Give it to me. No, there are some conditions. There's some steps of faith that we need to take. We need to actively seek first his kingdom. We need to actively pursue the will of our king and the work of our king in our sphere of influence and pursue his righteousness. Doesn't say that we attain it, that we become perfect and then he will do it. He says, seek first. Make this a priority in your life. And all these things will be, there's the language of promise, added to you. And so you can write down, Lord, I am going to make it a priority in my life to put your will and your work ahead of my will and my work. Because I want to be in step with you. Write it down. Write it down. Finally, if we're going to preserve a record of God's faithfulness by journaling, we write it down. We detail God's faithfulness. And that is what Joshua has done in his now 100 plus years as he gathers the leaders and the elders, the judges and officials of Israel to him. as this century-old man, he says to them, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord our God has done to all these nations for your sake. It is the Lord your God who fought for you." Verse 14, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not a one has failed." And Joshua documents God's faithfulness to his people, to his word. In my journal, it was Tuesday, I can find it. It was Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. I was in Chicago having breakfast at Panera Bread, celebrating and anticipating going back to the hospital to see Oliver Donald Thomas Dayling, and who had been born the evening before. And while I was having breakfast, I got a phone call from my mother in New York, and she said, "Dad's not doing well, and he's not, I couldn't get him up this morning, he's not speaking, I don't know." And God put on my heart at that moment, you know, with your laptop open, look for a flight to New York. I told Mama, I'll come. And my prayer focus was that I would be able to be there alongside my mother in this time of crisis. That was my prayer focus, my immediate prayer focus. God's faithfulness was demonstrated when I went on the Southwest Airlines page, and there was a 2:30 flight in the, and if you're familiar with Southwest Airlines, there are tiers of prices you pay. The Wanna Getaway fare is the cheapest, and there was a Wanna Getaway fare available for the 2:30 flight, and I booked from Chicago to Albany, New York. I arrived in a blizzard. My plane was the last plane to land in Albany that day, not because it was the last plane on the schedule, but because the weather wouldn't allow any other planes to land. I had a hotel room, and then the pastor of my dad's home church came down 49 miles after the storm to pick me up on Wednesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, I was with my brother and his family around my dad's bed having a hymn sing. We had hymnals and we had them open and we were singing dad's favorite hymn. And I'll never forget kind of the trickle welling up in his eye and running down his cheek. He didn't say a word, but he was touched by the singing. Maybe it was the pain of it. But the next day, I got to be with him on his bed when he breathed his last, and he was absent from the body and home with the Lord. The Lord was faithful in providing me that opportunity, but the Lord was faithful to my father as well. He was scheduled to go into a 24-hour hospice care center that day by ambulance, and he didn't want to go. He wanted to stay home. Well, the Lord honored that wish, and he stayed home, and the Lord welcomed him home. Privilege of writing it down. God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Journaling provides us a record of God's faithfulness as we face the Jerichos in our lives. That we can write down our prayers, and we can write down God's promises, and we can write down our steps of faith that God has put on our heart to take, and we can then detail God's faithfulness in answering our prayers. Sometimes the answers to our prayers come as quick as it is to boot up our computer and log on to Southwest Airlines. Other times the answers to our prayers take decades. But when we journal them, we can come back to them again and again and say, God's promise still stands. And I love one of the statements that Mark Batterson makes about prayers. He says, there is no expiration date on your prayer. I love that. You know, there might be an expiration date on our life. All of our days have been ordained, and we might die before our prayer is answered, but our prayer will be answered according to God's word right on time, because there's no expiration date on our prayers. Write it down. There is a promise in God's word. It is a promise that God will always, so God will always forgive. That's a pretty good promise. He says, I am, in 1 John 1:9, God says, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Great promise. We come to the table of the Lord to embrace that promise that God always forgives, and he's right to do so because Jesus Christ had allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be poured out to pay the debt of our sin, so that he could say, you are forgiven. Your debt has been paid. And like he said to so many others, go and sin no more. You are clean. You're forgiven. Yet there is a condition on that promise. In 1 John 1:9, the condition is this. If we confess our sin, then we're going to know God's faithfulness, and we're going to know his justice in forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So at this moment, in this hour, before we come to the table of the Lord, we want to take time in silent prayer to acknowledge to the Lord ways in which we have fallen short in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, so that we could confess them and know his forgiveness, because he's faithful and just to forgive. Let's take time to be in silent prayer.